The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We often talk about media coverage of religion. The stories, well, they often run the gamut from lighthearted, like one we're going to talk about here, a Huffington Post story on God's role in the Super Bowl, what Americans believe about the outcome of the big game and the deity's place in that, to the serious, talking about a former Full House star, Candace Cameron Bure. She was quoted in her media, what was it, a kind of a media junket for her latest book, talking about her husband and how she submits to him. She had to answer a lot of questions about that, to the very serious, to the somber, and that is a story about a brain-dead teenager in Oakland, California. We're going to talk about these three stories with Tammy Ross and how the media has covered the religion angle on each of them. Tammy Ross spent 20 years in journalism, including stints as the religion editor for The Oklahoman and online editor for the Christian Chronicle. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Tammy, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Starting with this, the less serious of these three stories, a God-decided Super Bowl, what's actually kind of misreported in this Huffington Post piece about how Americans think about the big game and the big man upstairs?
Well, I think what's most misreported, well, you could start with the headline, and the headline says that half of Americans say God plays a role in Super Bowl winner, according to this survey. Well, the survey itself alludes to, the story alludes to 140 million sports fans. And there's 314 million people living in the U.S., so if you do the math, you know, you come up with an X component there and a Y component, and Z is completely off. So that's one thing that's missing there. I think the other thing that's missing is maybe the spin, the context of the story is that maybe the Huffington Post saw this survey and thought, oh, the Super Bowl's coming up. Here's a story about sports, you know, a poll about sports. Let's see if we can spin it into something. And the poll isn't necessarily about the Super Bowl. It's about sports in general, and it's about fans who say they've prayed for a certain outcome or a certain team, but you never know what that means when you ask the average person, did you pray for the 49ers? Did you pray for the Seahawks? Did you pray for a certain team to win the Super Bowl? What does that mean to people, and how is that interpreted? So the context of prayer in this story is missing, too.
So it kind of more made of the survey and of the actual ideas expressed in that survey than could be justified by the Huffington Post piece. Is that a good summary here?
That's a good call, I think. I just think that they were looking at for an angle, a religious angle on the Super Bowl, saw this poll, thought they could weave it all together, and there's a lot of thread missing, unfortunately.
If you didn't remember Candace Cameron Bure from her stint on that sitcom Full House, you've certainly seen her picture floating around social media and in the media. What did she have to say during her latest book tour? And why did it garner so much press? How was it covered from a religion angle?
Well, she wrote in her book about her relationship with her husband. She's a mom of three. I think she's been married about 17 years, if I remember correctly. And so the premise of the book is how to make it all work, how to have a career. I guess she's a commentator, a host on some television shows now. She's not just an old sitcom star, you know, that's kind of been dusted off and put into this role of author, but she has a legitimate career in television still. And so she's written this book on, it's her second book actually, on how to make it all work with your marriage, your children, your career, and how she's managed to do that. And one of the secrets, quote unquote, she says to her success is that her marriage relationship is based on the biblical topic, the biblical interpretation of submission. And so submission is just kind of one of those words that just sets people off, apparently. I mean, I don't think of it that way, but I know a lot of people who do. And when you're talking about it in the biblical context, it means something different than the secular context. And immediately, you know, she mentions submission in her marriage and how she practices that. And, you know, a lot of smoke followed. So that's kind of where we begin with this piece.
Does the coverage of it accurately reflect what she's really saying? Does it delve deep enough to say, I read one headline, you know, that she says, I leave every decision to my husband or something like that. The man does all her thinking for her or something like that. Does that accurately reflect what she actually said?
No, not at all. And, you know, unfortunately, when editors and reporters are flipping through other reports from other outlets and they see something that could be sensational or controversial, immediately they'll pick up on something like that. That's the headline. And then the story follows in that direction, whatever direction they think it should go. And if you have some sort of a predetermined feeling or bias even against the thought of a woman submitting to her husband in any context, biblical, you know, just relational, whatever, it's going to raise your fur, so to speak. And I think that's what happened with a lot of coverage. The Huffington Post did a nice job, I thought, you know, letting her say what she wanted to. You know, she interpreted these paragraphs from her book for them and emphasized that she's using the word submissive in the biblical definition. And, you know, she quoted scripture and that was left intact. It was a really nice job that they did letting her speak about that. And then subsequently she did a live blog with them and that was intact and that went well. But the spin afterwards by other outlets was just really unfair in their interpretation of submission. I mean, and their treatment of her both.
Tammy Ross is our guest. When we come back just a few more minutes with her, we'll turn to a story about a brain dead teenager in Oakland, California, and how the media has covered the religion angle there as well. Then Dr. Frank Beckwith will join us. We're going to talk about the closed-mindedness of secular progressives. Often, if you look at their arguments on issues like marriage and life, you can discover that they really have not taken any attempt to seriously understand how Christians, how religious conservatives think on these issues. The closed-mindedness is really on the side of the secular progressives. He'll make that case a little bit later in Issues Etc. Hour 2. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The latest Issues Etc. journal is out. I have written an article on the book of Job. It's called Job in 4 Not-So-Easy Steps, an attempt to understand Job in light of Jesus Christ and his saving work. You can subscribe free at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the big red button. Press it, enter your email address, and you can get the Issues Etc. Journal, the latest edition, absolutely free. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of various stories, turning to the story of a 13-year-old teenager in Oakland, California, declared brain dead, with Tammy Ross of GetReligion.org in a few minutes. Dr. Frank Beckwith joins us to talk about the secular progressives' closed-mindedness, and then we'll play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. Tammy, we know very little of a factual nature of this story because the parents are pretty staying pretty far from the press. But this story has forced, as you say, some media outlets to cover the religion angle here. How have they done?
Well, as the story continues to go forward, and it's a continuing story, we don't yet know how it's going to end because the family has kind of gone into hiding. We don't know where Jahi is. We don't know her state. And we do know her state to some extent. I mean, she's been declared brain dead, but we don't know if she's still connected to a ventilator, if her heart's still beating. And so it's, like you said, it's forced religious coverage of an event that kind of crosses a couple of different lines here. You know, the line between life and death, the line between this life and the afterlife. And the coverage of it has kind of run the gamut. Unfortunately, the last piece I read was, I believe, in the L.A. Times, and they went to her school, I guess, when school resumed after the holidays, and she attends a charter school in Oakland, I believe. And it's not a religious institution, but the story categorized the majority of the parents as being religious. And I think that, from what I understand, the story said the student body held a rally with administrators and parents and teachers, and the message was, there's a chance for this child to come back to school. We all need to pray. I just hate to see that, honestly. And prayer works. We all know that. But we all know that there's science involved here, too. And five specialists have declared this child brain dead. And if you read about brain death, you know what that means. So my prayers are for the family in this situation and for the media that will continue to cover it.
Finally, with only about a minute here, do you think that the media coverage so far has given, and I use this term kind of carefully, given the religious view on the other side, that is, the family seems to be convinced on account of their faith that the child can recover, have they talked with anybody with any kind of theological acumen to say, you know, an ethicist or someone like that, to say, look, recovery isn't possible here, this is how the church or kind of the general Christian consensus on brain death will talk about this story. Have you seen any of that in there?
I haven't seen where anyone has talked to the family necessarily, because I haven't been able to track down that the family actually belongs to any community of faith. But I know that the Catholic Church, in the wake of them being pointed at as, you know, a possible sponsor of a hospice facility that might have taken her, and there was some word that the Catholic hospice might have been where she was. Catholic Church leaders spoke out about this case and said, you know, the Catholic Church's definition of death and brain death is the same as these doctors who have been involved in the case, and that is, when there's no brain activity, an individual is dead.
Tammy Ross spent 20 years in journalism, including stints as the religion editor for The Oklahoman and online editor for The Christian Chronicle. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Tammy, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.